When God says that some behavior is sinful, is it sinful for everyone in every age? Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. And today we're examining the nature of morality. Are morals absolute or are they relative? Can people ignore the morals of the Bible and still please God? Stay with us.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The phrase, "it is written," in this context means that God wrote it many years before, but it stands binding and authoritative. The psalmist in Psalm 119:89 said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." God's word doesn't fade away, it doesn't change, and it doesn't stop having authority over us simply because our culture changes. Now, people change, but God and His word do not change. They stay the same in every age, in every land, and in every culture. God is Lord over all. Thanks for taking time with us today. We hope to be a part of your life each week. A recent poll indicates only 1/3 of adults believe that moral truth is absolute and unaffected by circumstances. Even more shocking is that most American teenagers believe moral truth is relative. Many today think that moral truth is manufactured by our culture and our experiences. And it's not surprising today to hear, "Well, you can't say that something is true for everybody. How do you know? Just because something is true for you doesn't mean it's true for everybody else." That's people's thoughts. Now, such statements reveal not only what the speaker thinks about truth, but also about God. So we ask, can God speak authoritatively to all people for all time, a message that cannot be changed? People who ignore the God who created us and presume they can pursue their own morals are actually rebelling against God. They've allowed popular opinions to rule in their lives in the place of God. They've become their own gods. Now, since God's morals do not change is an important message, we offer it free. And if you'd like a printed copy of our study and you live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also stream this program on our website at searchtv.org and on YouTube. Now, the Edmond Church will now worship in song. We'll read from 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, and we'll examine how that God's morals do not change.
Praise the Lord!
Our reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And here Paul makes some very straight statements. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. These are some very straight statements about what was and what could be. We hope that you can also be sanctified by God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given us an opportunity to change our lives and to come close to you and to be cleaned by the blood of Jesus. Help us always to serve you and to love you and to turn from the things that are evil. In Jesus' name, amen. When someone says that we can believe whatever we wish about the morality of some behavior, he's actually saying that one moral belief is as good as another. Well, that's popular thinking today, but that belief can't be true. What people think about a behavior never determines whether it's moral or not. Just because someone thinks a behavior is moral doesn't make it morally right in the sight of God. Thieves may, for some reason, think stealing is a good thing, but you don't want anyone breaking into your home and stealing your valuables, do you? Rapists may regard defiling a woman as pleasurable, but no woman wants to be raped. People who commit sin always downplay the harm sin does, but the victim sees full well how wicked sin really is. People today have come to believe that love somehow transforms immoral behaviors into moral ones. They believe that love makes wrong into right. God calls fornication, that is sex between two unmarried people, sinful. But in the minds of many today, love makes fornication okay. It doesn't matter that a child could be conceived out of wedlock or that serious social diseases could be transmitted. Love in their minds makes fornication morally okay. It never occurs to them that their sexual desire may lead them to lie to themselves about the morality of sexual sin. God said in Galatians 6, verses 7 to 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, eternal life." The Lord tells us not to be deceived because a man tends to lie to himself when he wants something. People get involved with a sin and all of a sudden that sin isn't so bad. People have a family member that gets involved with some sin and then all of a sudden that sin is now morally okay. Do we honestly believe God has changed His mind? Has God changed His mind, or have we lied to ourselves about God? When people think they can overrule God's morality, aren't they mocking Him? Aren't they showing the greatest kind of disrespect? Don't they misunderstand God? Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." God doesn't change, and He especially doesn't change His morals in order to suit mankind or the culture of the day. Moses wrote in Numbers 23:19 that God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? God said in Malachi 3 and verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation." At this point, we need to know why the Lord's counsel stands forever and why we should pay close attention to it. First, the gospel is universal. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." When Paul spoke to the pagan philosophers in Athens in Acts 17:30, he said, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, everywhere, should repent." Now, Jesus commissioned the apostles to appeal to every culture in every land until the end of time. His message was for everyone and applied to everyone. The gospel gives hope to all men of salvation and forgiveness of sin. Now, the gospel was not merely a message for ancient Palestine. It's also a message for postmodern America. Now, if the blessings of the gospel are available to all men, and they are, then all men are accountable to God. Salvation is necessary because people are lost in sin. If God met the need to save us from sin through Christ, isn't God also the authority that determines what sin is? Why would God send His Son to die on the cross when people can personally decide that sin really isn't sinful? In actuality, we've deceived ourselves into believing that we can determine right and wrong for ourselves. Believing that we can overrule God with our personal beliefs must be terribly offensive to God. Second, the words of Jesus reveals His eternal and final authority. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Though men through the centuries have taken great pains to destroy and to suppress the teaching of Jesus, the Bible is still available throughout the world. The moral and religious teaching of Jesus won't disappear simply because our culture has changed its mind about certain moral issues. On the night before His death, the Lord promised the apostles in John 16:12-13, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come." Jesus promised the apostles that they would be guided into all the truth. They wouldn't lack anything. God wouldn't withhold any spiritual or moral truth they needed to bring men to life and godliness. The principles found in the New Testament reveal the complete and sufficient will of God. It's the whole truth, and it doesn't need help. In fact, the Lord takes offense to anyone who would add to His Word or take away from it. Jude, the brother of the Lord, recognized that the faith, that is, that body of revealed truths that were given to the apostles, was to be given once for all time. He wrote in Jude 3, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, this faith was delivered only once for all time. The idea that the gospel would need reinventing for the whims of each passing culture is never, never, never contemplated in Scripture. Every culture was to conform to the gospel. The gospel was given to change the sinful things in every culture so that it might conform to the once-for-all delivered will of God. Now, delivered faith is once-for-all, just like the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was once-for-all to bear our sins, Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Third, the gospel is unchangeable. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 35-6 that every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He reprove you, and you be proved a liar. Revelation 22:18-19 warns everyone about the book of Revelation. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. Now, if this warning is true about the book of Revelation, wouldn't it also be true about every other book of the New Testament? We have no right to edit what God says to suit ourselves. The book of Galatians describes some Jewish Christians who wanted to bind Jewish laws and traditions on the Gentile converts to Christianity. They were taking things from the old covenant made with Israel at Sinai and expecting the Gentiles to obey both the teaching of Christ and those Jewish laws and traditions. Paul wrote in Galatians 1:6-8, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, God will curse anyone who dares to change or edit the gospel. And anything that is unchangeable must necessarily be absolute. Now, these three characteristics derived from an absolute God make the gospel absolute truth. And those who espouse Christianity have very little to say or offer if the gospel they believe and preach is not settled in heaven. It's a great offense to God to suggest that in dealing with our sins, somehow the death of Jesus wasn't enough, or its message isn't universal, final, and unchangeable. It's the ultimate confusion to suggest that sin is an ever-changing concept subject to the passing whims of culture. This suggests that Jesus didn't know what sin is or was or what it would be in the future. It means the all-knowing God in heaven really doesn't know as much as we do. It suggests that we can take a vote on what we think and then treat God as if He's subject to what we decide. God is God, and we aren't. He makes the moral rules that will judge us on the last day, and we are accountable to Him. He can't deceive Himself about right and wrong, but we can deceive ourselves. He knows everything, and we'll never be as smart or as wise as He is. So, shouldn't we listen to Him rather than imagine that we can reinvent morality to suit ourselves? The universal, final, and unchangeable nature of the gospel, revealed by an absolute God, makes it absolute, not relative. And if we didn't believe our message is settled in heaven, we'd have nothing to offer. Paul argued that if the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was not true, then our faith is in vain and our preaching is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And in verse 17, he said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. The death and resurrection of Jesus provide an eternal and universal message. It's a consistent message of forgiveness and life. to say, people can think differently, but for me personally, Jesus died for my sins and rose again on the third day. Well, that's confusing. What people think doesn't change the truth or change the facts. Jesus either died for our sins or He did not. Jesus either arose from the dead bodily or He did not. Saying both options are true at the same time is illogical and contradictory. If both doctrines are true, then we can't be certain that we're forgiven or we have a home in heaven. Truth matters in our practical lives. If the bodily resurrection of Jesus is both true and false at the same time, we have no hope at the grave of a loved one. If truth is relative to our whims, we must take back everything we believe. We're only fooling ourselves if we think we can sin against God and everything will be okay. Why does this matter? It matters because God matters. And His teaching will judge you someday, and you matter. When people draw their moral values from their personal desires rather than from God, they drift away from what's right and moral into what's wrong and immoral. Once people start setting God's moral law aside, they forsake God and rush into immorality. Rhett Butler used a foul word in the movie Gone with the Wind in 1939. And foul language soon became fashionable, and it's everywhere. Today, movies and television and the internet allow the most foul language imaginable. If the devil, if we give him an inch, he'll feel free to take a mile. And if you ignore God's moral law, you could ruin your life and risk your soul. Don't do that. Stay with God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to give ourselves to You completely, to believe what You have taught, to live according to Your will, and to love You with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First Corinthians 6, 9-11 still says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Let's not deceive ourselves. The laws of the land and culture cannot change God's laws. What God says is wrong and will remain wrong as long as this world stands. Thankfully, we have hope in Christ. The sinful pagans at Corinth didn't remain in sin. They repented and changed their lives. While they were in sin, God would not let them inherit the kingdom. But they came to Christ, and the Lord washed them and made them holy and regarded them as righteous. There's always hope for people who forsake their sins and turn to the Lord. Rather than saying sin isn't sinful, folks, it's better to repent. And rather than thinking that you can change God's mind or His laws, why not be obedient to His will? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." When people forsake the Lord's laws, they do so to their own peril. And instead, let's put our trust in Jesus. Repent of our sins, confess the Lord Jesus as the Christ, and be baptized into Christ. Let's determine to deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow Him. Let's study the unchangeable Word of God and realize that it stands as written until the end of time. We hope that today's study, God's Morals Do Not Change, has made you think. If you want a free printed copy of this message and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org, or you can call the Search Office toll-free, 1-800-321-8633. There's also a schedule of our programs, a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. Now, Search is also on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and like the programs. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. Show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family, and so why not attend? And there's probably a Church of Christ near you. And if you're looking for a healthy biblical church home, we'll be glad to help you find one. We'll be back next week, Lord willing. So keep searching God's Word with us. And as always, we say to you, God bless you and we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.